In the name of Jesus. The word behold appears several times in the Gospel of John. And at least a couple of times when it appears, it refers to Jesus. We had an appearance of the word behold when Pilate, after Jesus had been scourged, after he had been crowned with thorns, brought Jesus out before the people. The bruised Jesus, the battered Jesus, the bloodied Jesus, the weakened Jesus, the Jesus probably in a state of shock and trauma. Pilate stood him there in front of the people. Maybe his soldiers were propping Jesus up to keep him from collapsing in a heap before them. And Pilate said to the people, announcing in a loud imperial voice, "Behold the man. Behold the man. Behold what has happened to him. Behold how he has been tortured. Behold how he has been flogged within an inch of his life. Behold this man whom your chief priest and your Pharisees and your lawyers have conspired against to bring him to this point where they cry out against him, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' He has made himself to be a king. He is an enemy of Caesar. And if you let him go, you too, Pilate, are an enemy of Caesar. Behold the man." That is what we Christians do. We behold him, as John the Baptist said, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. To behold Jesus is to pay careful attention to him. It is not merely to have the eyes of faith fixed upon him, although that is certainly true, but to know that he is the entirety of your life. He, by his suffering and death, has experienced death on behalf of a lost world of sinners. He has experienced suffering. He has experienced God's wrath, God's condemnation, so that those having faith in him, so that those beholding him in faith would not perish, but have everlasting life. Behold the man. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away all of your sin. Because he who was without sin, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, became sin for you, so that in him you might become, by God's grace, the righteousness of God. Yes, he became sin for you. Call to mind the sins that you are ashamed of. Call to mind the sins that, when you do remember them, you blanch with shame before a holy and righteous God. Name those sins in your mind and know this, that whatever those sins may be, Jesus became that sin for you. Whether it's an adulterer, a liar, or a thief, whether it's a murderer, whatever your sin may be that shames you, that you want no one to know, Jesus became that sinner for you. He became the slanderer. He became the gossip. He became the blasphemer. He even became Judas's sin. He became the betrayer of himself. Because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And there is not one sin that is exempt from that. For he carried all sin in his holy, tortured flesh. that he might bear it away from you. How are we to receive this? What are we to make of this? What are we to do with this? We are, as the Holy Spirit works through the message of the crucified Christ, to believe it, to believe that he is our Savior, to believe that he is the one who reconciles us to God. We were once enemies of God under his judgment, children of wrath, the scripture says. But now, in Christ, for his sake, we have become the children of God. Not neglected children, not children for whom God does not care, but beloved children. We are accepted in the beloved, Paul writes. You are beloved by God. God accepts you because of Jesus, because of his sacrifice for you. God lays no sin against you. God brings no charge against you. The sin was placed on Jesus. The charge was against Jesus and not you. And this is why we call this Friday good. Good Friday. It, of course, was not good for Jesus. How could it be? But in one sense, it was good for Jesus, because he was continuing the faithful obedience that he was required to fulfill as the Savior, the holy and righteous innocent sacrifice. He saves you by what's known as his active obedience, his fulfillment of his Father's will, but also what's known as his passive obedience. The word passive relates to the word suffering. The word passive tells us that Jesus gladly embraced the suffering and death of a cross, of the cross, for you, on your behalf. What a miraculous thing this is, that a holy and righteous God should bear the sins of his people, that a deathless God dies in the person of Jesus Christ, your Savior, that God stands against himself, that God becomes his own enemy, that God destroys himself, if you will, to save you from your sins. This is a miracle of the incarnation, the enfleshment of the second person of the Godhead. We celebrated and rejoiced at that during the Christmas season. And now, in somber reflection, in remembrance of everything Christ our Savior bore for us, we rejoice in this Good Friday. Because this Good Friday proclaims Jesus' words, "It is finished," proclaim that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who have been received by God in their baptism into Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection. No condemnation. The slate of all the charges against you has been wiped clean. No condemnation. The judge, the righteous judge, has dismissed all charges against you. No condemnation upon you. Rather, blessing and grace and mercy and love, because Jesus took the condemnation on your behalf. As John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." As the church proclaims, if she is faithful to the gospel, as she proclaims to those who hear her message, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." All preaching is centered on Christ crucified and resurrected, not Christ as your example, for how could you live up to his example? How could I possibly do that? But Christ, your Savior, Christ, the one who has rescued you from the devil's clutches, from sin, and from eternal death. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who gives you his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. Behold the Lamb of God whose words we hear in the consecration of the elements. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for the remission of sins. Behold the Lamb of God when after the elements have been consecrated, I lift them up before your eyes. Behold the Lamb of God. That is what faith does. We pray for the Lord to send us his Holy Spirit through the means of grace, that we might remain in this faith, that we would never waver or deny our Lord as Simon Peter did. And yet, if we do deny him, he does not deny us, Paul writes, for he cannot deny himself. And you, dear friends, are the body of Christ. So remember, he is merciful and gracious to you. He does not judge you. He does not condemn you. He invites you to continually come to him. You who are weary and heavy laden, take his yoke upon you and learn from him. Learn of all he has done for you, all he has suffered for you. Learn of the victory he has won for you. For his yoke is easy, the yoke of his forgiveness and mercy. And his burden is light because he bore that burden for you. He bore the cross for you. He bore all of your sin, carrying it away. For he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. And that means he has taken away your sin as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord.